3 weeks ago, we started this little series on the 50th day. The 50th day is a Greek, is what Pentecost, the word Pentecost means. The Greek word for Pentecost simply means 50th. And it was 50 days after the Passover that Pentecost occurred. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came and they were all baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, that's what happened on the 50th day. And so, last week, as you recall, and didn't Rob Hawks do a great job? I enjoyed his ministry, and afterward, Ashley and I had lunch with him, and just able to really enjoy fellowship, encouragement, and he really had a great time as well. But last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday, as many of you recall, which is the Jewish pilgrimage festival, or Shavuot, or Feast of Weeks. It's a Jewish pilgrimage festival. It's one of those that Jews were to make their way to the temple where they would offer the first of their grains throughout, once a year they would do that. So there are so many amazing similarities between the traditional Pentecost, the Jewish Pentecost, when God gave the law. So Pentecost, the Jewish Pentecost, took place when God gave the law from Mount Sinai. And there's such an amazing parallel between that ancient Jewish feast and the messianic fulfillment on the day of Pentecost centuries later. And here's three things real quick I'd like to just share about those similarities. The first one is this. A mighty thundering tempest sounded off at Mount Sinai in Exodus 19. What happened in Acts chapter 2, as we'll see in just a moment, a mighty rushing wind. You remember that? On the day of Pentecost, this mighty rushing wind sounds in Jerusalem. But it happens on the day of Pentecost, or Shavuot. It happens on that day. That's a similarity between what happened at Mount Sinai and when the mighty thundering took place, and in the upper room when the mighty wind was sounded and came through. Here's the second similarity. In Exodus 19 also, fire. What happens at Sinai? Fire descends down upon the mountain. In Acts chapter 2, verse 3, what happens? Fire descends as well, doesn't it? You recall that happens, that tongues of fire start appearing over the heads of the disciples. How many of them were up there? 120. So there were individual, like fires or flames, that came right down on all 120. But again, that is a similarity from Exodus 19 on the day of Pentecost when fire came down on the mountain. And here's the last one. God's voice spoke out the Torah, or the law, before the whole congregation of Israel, Exodus 19, 17. And then Acts chapter 2, verse 6 now. Here's the similarity. God's voice spoke out the gospel before all the people of Israel, to each person in their own language. Many people had showed up to Jerusalem on that feast of Pentecost, or Shavuot. From all over the world, they came with their respective languages. They didn't all speak one language. And so when they were gathered there, there would have been a multitude that had come to Jerusalem and gathered for that feast. They were holding a custom or a tradition. And what happened there was very similar to what happened back when God spoke the Torah, or spoke the law down from the Mount Sinai before the whole congregation of Israel. Listen, at Sinai, when God gave the law, He spoke it to the whole congregation and they understood it. But on the day of Pentecost, centuries later, on the day of Pentecost, when the day was fully come, they were gathered there, and when the Spirit of God filled them, tongues of fire sat upon them, they started speaking all these different languages. Those languages were tongues. They started speaking in tongues as a result of the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And the amazing thing was that everyone that came that spoke the various languages were able to hear the gospel. God, once again, similar to what happened on the day of Pentecost or Mount Sinai, on that day of Pentecost, God was speaking the gospel to everybody, not just one language or two, but everyone that came, they all heard these men speaking with other tongues, but they understood what they were saying because by the Holy Spirit they were speaking in their language. It's a language that the disciples didn't know of. They didn't learn the language, but when the Spirit of God came on them, fire fell on them, they started speaking a language that they never learned. That was what the Spirit of God did to get the gospel out to everybody. The similarities were so significant. The work of the Holy Spirit, such an unusual and loud occurrence that a crowd gathered to discover what's happening, what is going on. Crowds started gathering when they hear, what is all this I'm hearing, all this noise? And so Jewish people from around the world, they watched and they listened in astonishment. And what was the result? The result of all this was redemption. There in Jerusalem at the celebration of Shavuot or Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, there, 3,000 Jewish people were saved from sin by the power of God when He wrote His laws on their hearts. 3,000 people were saved on that very day of Pentecost. And it is no coincidence. Now hear this right now. It is no coincidence that about 3,000 men were smitten down by the power of God when they sinned with the golden calf at the foot of Mount Sinai, after He wrote His law on the tablets of stone. All that's recorded in Exodus 31. If you want to look it up, about 3,000 people were smitten by the power of God after they had worshiped the golden calf. Yet, fast forward to the day of Pentecost, Peter preaches and 3,000 people are redeemed. Why? Because the Holy Spirit showed up on 120 people who were in an upper room, who were hungry and who were thirsty after God, and they received by listening to the words of Jesus and tarrying on what God had told them to do. They tarried and they received in Jesus' name. So, the after effects of Pentecost. I think this might be the first time anybody in history is still on a Pentecost series after the day of Pentecost. Not really. I'm sure somebody's done that. I've never done it. But I felt a few weeks back in preparing for this, I said, you know what? This series, we need to wrap it up, not on the day of Pentecost. I knew Rob Hawks would be here, but intentionally I said, we need to go at least to the next week after the day of Pentecost, because that's what happened. The church went way out yonder after the day of Pentecost, still proclaiming, still preaching, still had the same power. They didn't leave the power behind them in the upper room. No, they were empowered to be the witnesses of Jesus throughout all the world, tribes and tongues and nations. So I thought about the after effects. The after effects. We go through one holiday and we think, check, that holiday's behind us. Not so with Pentecost. Pentecost fire, it's still with us in Jesus' name. And so the after effects. The day of Pentecost, it was like an earthquake. I know it's wind, and literally wind came and it filled the house. It would be like if you open the windows or open the doors, literally a shh would just blow through the place. But that, in a big way, was like an earthquake. Has anybody ever experienced an earthquake? Raise your hand if you have. Well, that's interesting. I've never experienced an earthquake. I really don't want to either. How many of you, it shook you up when the earthquake happened? You knew, this is an earthquake. Okay, a few of you? Wow, that's amazing. So that's what happened, really, on the day of Pentecost. And I can't think of any other description or better description than to liken what happened on the day of Pentecost to an earthquake. Because what happened on the day of Pentecost, Jerusalem was like what they call the center of the earthquake. I believe they call it the epicenter, which basically means here's where it starts. And then from that point, it goes out, goes out, goes out. And there are, what's it called after the actual earthquake? Later on, it can happen. Don't they call that aftershocks? Am I right or wrong? So they call it aftershocks, which continue to be felt and experienced even after the big quake. That's what I liken Pentecost to. While it was a thunderous event, it was an event not unlike what happened at Sinai before the Jewish people. When God came down, God consecrated them, blessed them, said, "You're my people." He consecrated them all. But on the day of Pentecost, it was like an earthquake, but the aftershocks are still being felt today. In 2022, the after effects are still there. The aftershocks, they're still being experienced. throughout the world, around the world, globally, there are effects still from that great earthquake in church history that on the day of Pentecost occurred. And so in Acts 2, 1 through 4, let's just go ahead and read all four of those verses, even though we have read it time and time again. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord. That means they were all in unity, in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, how many were filled with the Holy Ghost? How many of them? All. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. So three things. The first one is this about Pentecost, and as more specifically about the aftershocks or after effects that we're still feeling the day of Pentecost. And the first is the actual day of, the day of. If you've ever gotten married, you woke up the day of your wedding. If you've ever had some great event that you were preparing for, maybe it was a graduation, there's nothing like the feeling of knowing that you're going to walk down the aisle, cap and gown, and this is a graduation day. This is an important event. It's the day of your graduation. And you never forget the day of. These Jews, these people, the disciples, they never forgot the day of Pentecost. It was a day that they were tarrying for. It was a day that they were waiting for. It was a day that Jesus promised would come. So when it came, guys, gals, we're never going to forget this day. On the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. So the day of Pentecost is the first thing I'd like for us to think about. You know, in the Old Testament, what led the children of Israel through the wilderness? There was a cloud by day, and what by night? Fire. It was a pillar of fire that led them through the wilderness. If they needed to go that way, that's the way the cloud would go. If they needed to go this way, it was night, that's the way the fire would go. It directed them, it led them, it guided them. And on the day of Pentecost, the pillar of fire came into that place. The fire of God, the tangible presence, the Shekinah glory, the presence of Almighty God by fire. Our God is an all-consuming fire. Came into that upper room, into that place where the believers were gathering in one accord. And it just divided, it separated and came and divided sitting on every single person that was sitting in that upper room. And what did that fire do? It enabled those present to speak the gospel in languages that those visitors in Jerusalem could understand. That's how much God loves everybody. That every language needs to hear. Every nation needs to know. Every culture needs to be engaged. Every people need the gospel. How can we do it? Well, going at Babel. At Babel, God confounds their languages, separates the people, disperses them. They're not able to communicate together anymore because they had tried to be one the wrong way on their own selfish, evil ambitions. But on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God comes in and He unites them to where they're able to understand languages. There's no barriers whatsoever from hearing the gospel. Now, what was the difference? The fire on the day of Pentecost. Later on in this chapter, we see the day after. So we see the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, 1 through 4. Now let's look at the day after Acts 2, 37 through 39. You say, I don't understand, this is the day after. Well, it's the same day, but we'll see in just a moment. And if you would, please, let's read Acts 2, 37 through 39. Now when they heard this, what is this? Peter's message, right? They were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men, brethren, what do we do? What shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent. And be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift Somebody say gift. How many of you like gifts? The rest of you are lying. Everyone loves gifts. But what's the greatest gift the Father could give to believers? He gave on the day of Pentecost. He gave on the day after Pentecost. He continues to give the gift of the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise, verse 39, is unto you. It's unto all of you that are here. It's also to your children, the generation that will come after you. And, praise God for this next part that's included, and to all that are afar off. How many of you agree? That's us. We are afar off from the literal day of Pentecost. We're the day after Pentecost. This is the days after that earthquake. But yet we still feel the shocks. We still feel the ground beneath us moving, shaking, trembling. Why? The power of God is still just as great, just as relevant today as it was on the day of Pentecost. The day after Peter stands up, what do we do? Peter stands up and addresses that question. Repent, be baptized, everyone, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And with many other words did Peter testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this generation. Ever since the day of, the church has lived in the day after. No longer is there the day of Pentecost. We live in the day after. Are you with me this morning? There was a real day of Pentecost where 120 disciples experienced the fire of God, the power of God. They spoke languages that they never learned. They did things that was way out of character for some of those, for some of them. That was the day of Pentecost, and it was never forgotten. If you were there, you never forgot it. I promise you, if you had experienced that on the day of, you never forgot it. However, I'm so glad Peter's first message on the day of Pentecost, his first message was to all those that needed to hear the gospel. He was able to explain to them, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. But I can promise you, and I thank God, that the day of Pentecost is just as powerful. It's just as powerful as anything could be. But I'll tell you what else is powerful. Peter said, it's going to be just as powerful as to those that come after you. Because the day of Pentecost will never stop. As long as the church exists, as long as the bride of Christ is breathing, as long as we're still here in this world, being salt, being light, the day of Pentecost, the day after, continues to be felt by believers. That's why we don't just say the day of Pentecost is in the history books. Because we live in the day after. We still feel the after effects of that great quake. Finally, the day ahead. And this is where we'll turn, if you would, over to Ephesians chapter 2. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. We've looked at the day of Pentecost. As we wrap up this little series here, we've also looked at the day after, which includes us. We are afar off. It includes us. We're in the day after Pentecost, but it doesn't take anything away from the day of Pentecost. And then here's the last one, the day ahead, the days ahead. Ephesians 2:16 through, let's go through 22. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto a holy temple in the Lord. Now here it is, watch this in verse 22. And whom you also, not just them on the day of, not just those on the day after, but everybody, you also, not just the 120, y'all don't leave me just yet. Not just the 120, but Paul says, you also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now I want to read the same passage in the Passion. So you are not foreigners or guests, but rather you are the children of the city of the holy ones with all the rights as family members of the household of God. You are rising like the perfectly fitted stones of the temple, and your lives have been built up together upon the foundation laid by the apostles and prophets. And best of all, you are connected to the head cornerstone of the building, the anointed one, Jesus Christ himself. Verse 21, this entire building is under construction and is continually growing under his supervision until it rises up completed as the holy temple of the Lord himself. This means that God is transforming each one of you into the Holy of Holies, his dwelling place, through the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. I'm talking about the day ahead. The day ahead. The day of Pentecost, the day after, that's where we are. But what about the days in the future? What about looking into the future? Because on the day of Pentecost, the God that poured out his Spirit on those that were there is the one that promised he'd pour out his Spirit at some point upon all flesh, everywhere, every nation, globally. He would pour out his Spirit. But that's in the days ahead. We can look into the future at a time all the sons of God await when we will be one unified body in Christ. The church could never be one without the Holy Spirit mortaring the church together, uniting us together. Communion as a practice couldn't do it. Just the cross as a practice couldn't do it. It required the Holy Spirit. Paul says in Ephesians 2, in whom you're built together, cemented together, becoming a habitation, a place where God could live through the Holy Spirit. Pentecost, not just the day of in history, not just the day after, but the day to come. The day to come. The day ahead. In the context of all this in Ephesians, I want you to hear this. The context of every bit of this in Ephesians is that God has started over. God has started over, forming one race of humanity. Jesus, and this is what happened on the day of Pentecost. It's like God said, all right, reset. Reset on the church, on the world, reset. And here's what that reset button meant. Now, Jews and non-Jews, forming one race of humanity, Jews and non-Jews, were fused together in Christ himself. God is no respecter of persons, it's easy to say, but how can it be realized? Only by the Holy Spirit. There is neither in Christ male nor female, Jew nor Gentile. Are you with me? Jew or Greek? We're one. How could we be one? How could we be united? How could we be that one accord, that church? How is it possible? By the Holy Spirit. Two have become one, and we live restored to God and reconciled in the body of Christ. We can call the Father. We can all come before the Father with direct access in the realm of the Holy Spirit. We can all come before the Father with direct access in the realm of the Holy Spirit. Today, as we wrap up this message, this thing we've been at for a few weeks now. Actually, come on. Or Claire, as we wrap this up, I want you, everyone, to think about what the day of Pentecost means for you, because everybody has their ideas about what Pentecost is. Some think Pentecost is more or less emotion. Some think Pentecost is a style of worship. Others think Pentecost is a way of preaching. Others think of Pentecost as a way of, let's be real now, some think of Pentecost as a way of dressing. Some think of Pentecost as a lifestyle. Some think of Pentecost, but can I tell you the way Jesus preached that it would be? He said, here's what Jesus said. He said that on the day of Pentecost, here's what's going to happen. The Spirit of God is going to come. He's going to make you free. He's going to abide on you just as he abode with Jesus. That happened on the day of Pentecost. And on the day after, I'm going to continue even on into 2022 and 23 and 24. As long as the Lord tarries, that's going to be the day after. But on the day ahead, which Paul described in Ephesians 2, the days ahead of Pentecost look like this. A time when the body of Christ grows and matures to that final point where the temple is complete. Folks, the temple ain't complete yet. There's still more people that have not trusted Christ. There's still more people in the world that have not received this beautiful, wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's still people that are hungry, searching, thirsty, wanting what God has for them. And I can tell you right now that Jesus is still giving it because the temple, that spiritual temple, is not yet complete. But on the day that it is, we will see Him as He is and we'll be like Him. We'll be just like He is. And until that day, Pentecost continues to be for us not just a reminder, not just a history lesson, not just what happened on the day, but continues to be for us an experience that all believers can have in Christ Jesus. So I'm asking you, where does this leave you today? Where does this put you? Where does this place you? Where do you find your place in identifying with the experience that other believers had on the day of Pentecost? Where does the 50th day come in into your life? If you've not yet experienced fully, if you've not yet encountered the fire of God that He longs to give to believers to make us witnesses to all nations and all tongues.